Scripture tells us that we are to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Amen. We're not here to fulfill some ritual requirement. We don't have any ritual in the Christian church. There should be no ritual. All of this vain repetition and stuff that goes on is a complete waste of time. Well, amen. The Bible says, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. But we're here to call upon the Lord, to hear His word, to be lifted up in faith, to do service and glory and honor unto God. Amen. From the heart. And what we're going to do this morning, first of all, is pray. And then we're going to go into Isaiah chapter 5. We're still on that chapter. There's a lot in there. We don't want to miss anything. And you see, one thing we have to learn about the Bible is that the other books will feed into the other books. It's all interlocked. And that's why sometimes we go down these little side roads of learning. And maybe we might find ourselves in Isaiah for a while, and we have to go over to Jeremiah to verify something Isaiah is saying. Not that of itself it needs verification, but what that does is it builds the faith and it builds the whole case. Amen. So we want to bring a lot of Scripture into this. If you came to this church to hear something other than Scripture, well, I guess you're in the wrong spot, because we want to get into Scripture. Amen. It's the Word of God. Cannot be wrong. Forever settled in heaven. And if we don't believe that, and if we don't have that, then we're wasting our time too. But we've got it. It's here in God's book. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee, Lord, for this day and for Thy great and many blessings to us. For Thou art the Almighty God, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And we're here this day to serve Thee. I pray that in Thy mercy and in Thy grace, Thou wouldst move upon us with the power of the Holy Ghost. That Thou wouldst deliver us from all evil. That Thou wouldst strengthen our faith, O Lord, and help us to bring glory and honor to Thy kingdom. I pray that Thy word would freely work in our hearts this day and in the midst of Thy people. That Thou wouldst guide and direct us, O Lord. And in doing so, that Thou wouldst rebuke every unclean spirit, every devil, every force of darkness, every hindering power, in Jesus' name. Let the devil be put to flight, and let Thy word, O Lord, have the preeminence now in this place. And I pray that through the power of Thy saving blood, that we would all come together in an appreciation of Thy salvation, and those that need to come to repentance, that they would come to repentance. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, it seems like I've been told anyway that, I've been asked, I should say, why do you, when you pray, because I do this often, when you pray, you rebuke the devil and you bind wicked spirits and you cast them out. Well, it's foreign to a lot of people because it's not done in churches anymore. Most churches don't even believe in the devil, which gives him a lot of running room. Amen. If you don't think he's there, then he can work quite freely. You see, this nation, this world, is running on darkness right now. The reason that there is an evil opposition to the kingdom of God, the reason that exists is because there's so much darkness. And people, men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. You see, it takes the power of God and the revelation of His word to show you the way. Otherwise, we're all floundering around. And when religions forsake the Bible and forsake the Lord, as they are doing wholesale, then people are left floundering around in the darkness. Our purpose as Christians is to know this book and to know the Spirit of God working in us and then to walk in the light. And let other people know that there is light to walk in. You don't have to be ignorant of what's going on. It's the devil's job to keep you ignorant and keep you ignorant and keep you ignorant. And you see, the devil uses people. He set up a kingdom in this world. That's why he's called the prince of this world. Remember how Jesus called him that? The prince of this world is come and hath nothing in me. Well, he's set up a kingdom on this earth. Now, we know that the kingdom of God is here also, and so there's a struggle and there's a battle. And that's why as we're studying Isaiah, we're going to see, and I think we've seen it somewhat already, this great battle going on. Speaking of darkness and blackening out the news, I'm just curious, did anybody here, I asked some of you this already, but this is just for my own understanding. Did anybody here hear anything on any news or anything anywhere about a raid up near Eau Claire and a confiscation of military weapons and armored vehicles? That should have been all over the news, right? Well, I had an anonymous phone call, not anonymous to me, I can't tell you who it was, but it was the first sergeant with the National Guard who told me all about it. It's somebody who gets the newsletter. See, we have readers throughout the world, and a lot of them in Wisconsin, a lot of them all over the country. And this person called and told me all about the armored vehicles that were confiscated by the government and the weapons and so forth. But I have to wonder, why didn't anybody seem to know about it? He was gone for a week out of state on some special training, and he came back, and he called me. He said, "Did you hear about it?" I said, "No, I didn't hear anything about it." He said, "I didn't know about it until they told me when I came back." He said that one of our guard units had to go and move the vehicles and take all the stuff and lock it all up at a nearby armory. So I was just wondering, nobody heard a word, huh? Boy, they can really hush things up if they want to, can't they? I mean, not a peep. I wonder how many, don't you wonder this? How many other things are going on right now all over this country that we know absolutely nothing about? See, I want to get you to think today. The greatest fulfillment I could have, particularly regarding the gospel of Jesus Christ, but also regarding everything going on, because it's all a part of the whole picture. History is His story, you see? I want people to learn how to think for themselves and not believe what they read in the newspapers. You don't want to be like Will Rogers, who said, "All I know is what I read in the paper." We have to learn how to think, not be told what to think. Don't listen to Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh said, "You don't have to think. I will tell you what to think." See, that's Illuminism. He gets up there in front of his golden microphone and in his executive EIB chair, high atop the EIB building in New York City. By the way, next time we go, this September we're going out there, I think I'll go and have a look at that thing. But anyway, he sits there and he says, "After I comment on something, there's nothing more to say." Do I detect just a minute, minuscule little bit of pride in a statement like that? No, we don't want to fall into that category of just being zombie-like, matoids, just walking around, "Tell me what to think. I want to know what to think." See, that's why your newspaper is so thick. You got all these editorials where everybody's got the news all interpreted for you. I would love to see just one newspaper with one page, with a list of everything that happened. I'll figure out what happened. I don't need somebody to sit there and write a story for me. If I know the facts, I can figure it out. But they don't dare give you the facts unless they are mixed and embedded into a framework of thought to keep you from figuring out what the facts really are. Okay, they have to be blended together. Because they know, as we know, you can't unscramble an egg. And if they mix it up enough, you'll never figure it out. Finally, you throw up your hands and say, "Well, I guess that's what happened." Oh, there's example after example after example in history of that, particularly in this country. Some people say, "There is no conspiracy in this country. There's no conspiracy in this world." What did God say? "A conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem." God said, "There is one." Let me just show you one verse before we start in Isaiah. You knew I was going to do this, didn't you? I know I'm talked about once in a while. They say, "That guy, he just cannot stay in one place." Well, anyway, if you look at Psalm 2, just a couple of verses. Now watch this. Psalm 2. "Why do the heathen rage Starts out with a question, doesn't it? Now, you might want to hold your page in Isaiah, because we honestly are going to flip right back there. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Why do we have all these vain imaginations out there? Why do we have over 200 religions that all call themselves Christian and none of them agree? Why are all those different doctrines? In fact, I was reading yesterday, I almost fell off from my chair. I was sent a copy of a page from the Catholic Pictorial magazine. On that page was what they call the full face of Christ. It's not a face, but what it is, it's a geometric diagram. Did you ever see it? It's called an enneagram. You've seen it. It actually forms a round, kind of like a halo, and it's got lines in all directions. It's very sacred in the Catholic system. A lot of people don't really understand it or know about it, but it is a geometric design, and they use it. I've seen it in the Bibles, in the two-way version, or two-way version. It's a round sort of a diagram, and then it's got a number of lines running, oh, you might say diagonally, at different degrees. And in the article, this man was saying, and he's a Catholic writer, he said that the full face of God, this enneagram, is actually based on sixes. And in this, there is a six and another six and another six as the lines run. And how this is such a wonderful thing. And then he's got three sets of six instructions in this, and three sets of six. Are you listening to that? And he concludes the whole thing by saying 666 is the full face of God. The full face of God is 666. What does the Bible say 666 is? The mark of the beast. But then again, on the Pope's hat, you know, that pointed dunce hat that he wears. You might say, oh, you're not kind. You're running down another religion. I'm running down false doctrine. I'm attacking the devil. There are many fine people in these churches, but they've been deceived. They're walking around in the dark. They need to wake up and see what the Bible says. Amen. And this hat that he wears has on it the title, Filii Vicarius Dei. That's Latin. What that means is the Vicar of Christ, or the Vicar of God, God on earth. That's what it means. And if you take that title, Filii Vicarius Dei, the Latin, and take all the letters that have a number equivalent, it comes out to precisely 666. Have you ever read Revelation 13 where it tells you the mark of the beast, the number of his name is 666? I mean, that ought to be enough right there to throw the whole thing overboard. If there's a man who stands up and says, I am the head of the church, I am God on earth, you might say, he never says that. Well, it sure is said of him, and he accepts it. How about the dictates of Hildebrand that were written for Pope Gregory? And all of these other writers who said that this man is God on earth. Well, there is a God of this world, but he's not my God, and he's not the head of the church, because the head of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ. And my Bible tells me that the Lord Jesus Christ is he that was dead and now is alive forevermore and has the keys of hell and of death. So we have great controversies in this world, and so it must be. Because we are earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Did you ever read that in the book of Jude? We are told, we are commanded to contend, to fight for the faith once delivered. And I must point out here it says once delivered. Not delivered and then revised and delivered again and revised and delivered again by process of a reformation. I was brought up as a Lutheran. I was told that Reformation, I was training to be a Lutheran minister. I was told that Reformation Day was October 31st. Remember? Remember the church doors at Wittenberg? The 95 Theses? Martin Luther nailing them to the door? Hier stehe ich, ich kann nicht anders tun. Huh? Here I stand, nothing else I can do. Perfect timing, right? October 31st, that's the big witch day. Halloween, Samhain, as the witches call it. No, that's not Reformation Day. Reformation Day was the day Jesus hung on the cross, suffered and died for us. That's what reformed everything. That's what changed everything. And nothing can change that to make it better, or to straighten that out, or help that along. He said, it is finished. That was Reformation Day, and that was it. There could be no other Reformation. Well, what about Catholicism then? It's the great Antichrist false system, mother of harlots and abominations of the world, and any church that came out of the Catholic Church is her daughter. And that's why those doctrines remain. That's why people remain deceived. What is wrong with people just opening their Bible, getting down on their knees and calling out to God? Or have people forgotten how to do that or maybe never learned how? Anything wrong with that? Instead of doing it ritualistically and following a set pattern. No, there is a great raging going on in this world. There are a lot of people waking up and they're walking out of these bail boxes and they are coming to the realization of the truth that they better get their hearts right with God and not subscribe to some system where they don't even know what's above them. They don't know what that pastor believes. They don't know what the bishop believes. We've got a National Council of Churches. That sounds like a good thing, doesn't it? But one of the member churches of the National Council of Churches, which of course includes the United Methodist Church, the United Church of Christ, and all of these mainstream, mainline organizations, many of the Lutherans, they have accepted as a member church in the NCC, Anton LaVey's Church of Satan. My Bible says, what fellowship does light have with darkness? Huh? Here I've got a little paper that Nathaniel brings me things all the time, and others of you bring things, and Arnie's always good at bringing a lot of stuff. But I pulled this just to illustrate something here. This article says church hymnal language, terms get updated. See, they just can't leave it alone, can they? Well, this is from Associated Press in Chicago. It says, in Silent Night, the baby Jesus' sex is not mentioned. Faith of our fathers is now faith of the martyrs. So you don't have fathers, that's male. See? That offend the women. Wouldn't that just really offend you to sing faith of our fathers? Well, this is Father's Day. What are women doing now? Why don't they all stay home? Huh? If they're so anti-man, just stay home. Don't get out of bed. Don't risk getting up on the wrong side of the gutter. Well, amen. I'm one of these let them have it guys. I hope you don't mind, and I don't care if you do. Anyway. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies is now how beautiful our spacious skies, and sings praises of all the Americas, not just one America. I mean, you wouldn't want to offend the other Americas, right? Even the right hand of God is sometimes changed to the mighty or strong hand of God, lest left-handed people be offended. Huh? These lyrics revised in the United Church of Christ's New Century Hymnal issued last June reflect the trend of religious denominations offering their congregations modernized, politically correct hymnals. Well, I gotta say this, at least it's not as bad as the New Genesis hymnal. that's out. I think Zondervan sells that one if you care to look for it. The New Genesis hymnal with songs like Mrs. Robinson by Simon and Garfunkel or Imagine by John Lennon in a church hymnal. And Imagine is a complete anti-God song. You know what it is. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. Huh? No hell beneath us, above us only sky. Who are they trying to kid anyway? Ruth?
They shouldn't use the word hymnal either, that they're so concerned.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. Yeah, then they do get ridiculous. We live in an insane world where people in powerful places and with a lot of money are completely nuts. I mean, let's face it. When they get a court order to stop a man with a junkyard because he's got tires stacked up all over the place and he wants to sell the tires, and they come in and get a court order to stop him from selling the tires because they collect rainwater and mosquitoes breed there and they'd be disturbing the natural habitat of the mosquito. And the judge grants them a court order. When our Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, goes into Alaska and requires that a certain amount of contaminants be taken out of the water before the water can be used. And they said, we don't have, this is such pure water, such crystal clear, clean water, such pristine water, we can't take that many contaminants out of it. So they forced them to take the waste from the canneries and dump this waste into the rivers, into the lakes, so that they could comply with cleaning them up. Now, when you've got a system like that going, that's completely insane. But that's what's running this. We got Bonnie and Clyde in the White House. Huh? We got the finest Congress money can buy. I mean, what's going on here? Well, I was just reading about that. Now I got three things going at once. But on this church hymnal thing, it also takes out songs using the word darkness and blind to symbolize spiritual ignorance. I mean, that would offend people. If their skin is dark or if they happen to be blind, let's see. Oh, boy. I really don't know how much of this I can read because ad nauseum, you know. But I think you get the picture. But they have, here's one. It says the UCC's 6,200 congregations are not required to use the new hymnal, which balances masculine and feminine images of God and sometimes refers to God as her. I mean, they don't want a masculine God. Well, then they're going to just have to get out of the cosmos, get out of the universe, because He's God. If they don't like God, that's too bad. What are they going to do? Vote that he changed from male to female? People have to realize that they've got no say in it. God is sovereign. If we can't understand that as Christians, then we're way out and left. We're way out there. We're gone. He is sovereign. He is almighty. He's in charge. He didn't ask me or you anything about how you wanted it or how I wanted it. He did it the way he wanted it. He. Well, I work at a university too, and I run into professors all the time, and it's going on, it's typical. They're doing that stuff. So this doesn't surprise me. If it surprises you, well, be surprised. Be shocked. Be horrified. Gives us something to preach about now, doesn't it? But if you look back, and now let me backtrack one notch here to Psalm 2. We started on that just a bit. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. So who's doing this? The kings of the earth. Helmut Kohl, cabbage head. Bill Clinton, or as he was known as a little boy, Billy Blythe, little illegitimate boy. Well, he admitted that. His father was a traveling salesman and left little children all over the country, by the way. That's been admitted. That's why they had those bumper stickers out, honk if you're a brother to the president. I mean, claims were coming in from all over the place. I mean, what a day we're living in. The kings of the earth, the United Nations, all the rulers, what are they doing? They set themselves together. There is a conspiracy. There is a gathering together and whispering going on. And let's pull this one on them. And let's control them this way. And let's tap their telephones. Oh, by the way, when you use your telephone, next time you pick it up and you hear those words reverberating through your mind, we're all connected. Just remember that the FBI has decided to randomly tap your telephone. In other words, every telephone in this country will be randomly tapped. That's already going on. Congressman Phil Graham said he's monitoring the situation, but he said there isn't much he can do about it. And your new telephones that will be coming out will be computers. Or you won't have a phone. You might say, I'll never get a computer. Well, then you won't have a phone either. Or you won't have anything else that will run anything in your house because your heating system, everything's going to be run off from your computer. You might say, not in my lifetime. Oh, well, I don't know if you're going to die in the next couple months. But it's coming fast. It's all going to be run by a computer. Your house, your car is already run by a computer. You know, the perfect number for a computer, you know what it is, don't you? It's 666. Because of all the switching mechanisms inside and so forth, the way it's set up. In fact, the guys that started Apple Computer out in their garage, they acknowledge that, and to celebrate the fact that 6 is the perfect computer number, Apple Computer sold the first 2,000 Apple Ones for $666.66. Now the Milwaukee Public School System has decided all children need a computer that when they're through with it in school, they can take it home with them. So they want to provide computers that when you graduate, you can walk off with Big Brother, you know, arm in arm. Take that home with you. Going to cost a fortune, but they got to get them in everybody's home because it's got to run everything. Boy, we are really up against it. These are exciting times. This means the Lord's coming soon. These are the things that Jesus referred to when he said, watch and pray. And if people would be taught to watch and learn to watch, they'd have no trouble finding time to pray. Amen. I'm a firm believer in prayer. Now remember our summer prayer meetings on Saturday nights. The reason I call it summer prayer meeting, 6:30 Saturday nights. The reason I call it summer prayer meeting is some are there and some are not. But but if you can make it, why, come on out. We don't waste any time, we just pray. Now, so it tells us that these rulers are gathered together against the Lord. What are they saying? Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. God has a restraint put on people and put on nations. Everything is subject to his will. These people stand up sometimes in their councils and say, we will do this. We're going to start this war, or we're going to take care of this little problem over here. And they don't consider what's the will of God. Do you think for 1 minute that our leaders get down on their knees in prayer and weep and cry before the Lord and call upon him and say, Lord, what wouldst thou have me to do? Or is it as Nancy Reagan said, we must consult the astrologer and find out? Like they did back in old Babylon. Did you know that over 10 of our presidents and first ladies not only consulted astrologers, but were practicing astrologers themselves? Now, we've got a problem. And it's up to us as Christians to pray through this thing. I'm not trying to paint a bleak picture here. I'm just trying to get you to think a little bit. Saying outrageous things, maybe? Well, because they've not been heard. Nobody's saying them. They should be. Somebody better strike the match. Amen. So, let's break their bands. In other words, we want the freedom to do whatever we want. We don't want God to say no to our efforts. As one minister wrote a book called Liberated from the Tyranny of God. It's quite a title, isn't it? Well, what happens? How does the Lord look at this? In verse 4 it says, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure." And I think that's going on. That's why you've got all these fires and disasters. Alaska, these 60-foot wall of flames came through and destroyed those hundreds of houses. People stood by helpless. And down in the south and southwest, the fires down there, the drought down there, the burning, scorching heat down there. And incidentally, if you got a Milwaukee Sentinel, you might want to look back a couple of days, Journal Sentinel, newspaper, they've got a map of this Olympic torch that came through our country, or is going through our country. It's on the East Coast now. And, of course, they started that trek in Los Angeles 13 days after the witch's Sabbath of the vernal equinox, very appropriately. And this thing has been zigzagging through our country in an easterly direction. And if you have, I was shocked. I took the map of our country showing the UN biospheres. You know what those are, don't you? The United Nations has come in and seized upon certain areas of our country. The United States, land of the free and home of the brave, the fruited plain. They've seized upon various areas and they are now owned and controlled, ostensibly, by the United Nations on American soil. Well, that shouldn't shock you because down in New Mexico, we now have a Luftwaffe base. On May 1st, Beltane, the Witch's New Year. What I'm trying to say is our government operates on occultism. Don't kid yourself, it does. Everything about it is occult. They literally gave Holloman Air Force Base to Germany. It is a commissioned Air Force base, Luftwaffe. We have nothing there anymore. It's German. It's a German base. Because they said, well, we have our bases in Germany, you know? Why can't Germany have a base over here? Why not let Red China come in with warships and come up the Tennessee River to protect their Chinese laundries, huh? It's not the world it once was. It's not the country it once was. We have memories of what America once was, but it's not anymore. It's different. And when you come face to face with a beast, you'll find that out. Some people never have yet, but they will. And you'll find out. And you'll remember, hey, that Meyer up there said something about that once. But if you're in trouble with the beast system, and you're standing there confronting it face to face, the only help you've got is from above. Amen. That ought to be sobering enough to cause people to repent. Well, anyway, this Olympic torch going weaving through seems to have followed the exact pattern of the UN biospheres. Starting in Los Angeles, curving around down by San Diego, up and around, going up into Northern California, Oregon, Washington, cutting across, following a connect-the-dot pattern with these UN biospheres until it comes to the midsection of the country where there are none. Then it goes up to Minneapolis, across over to La Crosse and down into Milwaukee, then down into Illinois, Ohio, and out to the East Coast, and then up and down and around Florida, and finally ending up in Atlanta, Georgia. July 19th, which is 13 days before Lunasa, or Lammas, another witch's Sabbath. Do you think all this is coincidental? Or somebody consulting the devil to find out how to do it? And you've got this flaming torch of illuminism, which also is used by the Standard Oil Company. You expect more from Standard and you get it. That torch with a flame on the top. They mark their products. Old John D. knew what he was doing. Come on. And every place that torch has been, there's been disaster. And where did that torch come from? Mount Olympus in Greece, where Hillary Clinton stood there and called out to the sun god to send the sacred rays down through the magnifier to ignite the flame. And then from there they carried the torch. It's all segmented.
So, and at the same time, you pick, you know, that trying to bring a German base over here, which is kind of a horrible thought, but it must be a horrible thought for them to have our bases over there.
Well, what do you think Helmut Kohl and Bill Clinton were talking about in the Milwaukee restaurant? Huh? See, this thing is all set up. And you don't have to take, in order to take over a country, you don't have to take over the whole country. You have to do like Britain did. See, there's two strains of Freemasonry. Now, I don't have time to go into that. And these things are working. There's an intrigue going on. There's a dichotomy. But one of the strains of Freemasonry, the Masonic Lodge, if you take England for an example, England controlled the shipping lanes of the whole world. How did they do it? That little half of an island. How could they have such control? Well, they didn't control all the waters of the world by filling them with ships. They just took over places like Gibraltar, which completely controlled the Mediterranean Sea. Or they took over Istanbul to take care of the Bosporus, that whole area there, the Black Sea. Or they took the Falkland Islands. Or they took Hong Kong. See, all the strategic Singapore, strategic areas to control all the shipping lanes. If you come into this country, you take the strategic areas over, you got the whole thing. You just have to know where they are. Very strange things are happening. And don't be too surprised, because we've been warned for a long time. But our help is in the name of the Lord. You might say, who is the big enemy? They're building up these military forces. Remember, we're closing down a lot of our bases, but now we decide we'll hand them over to other countries, see? But who's the enemy in all of this? Russia? No, not Russia. How about Southeast Asia, the Greater East Asia Co-Prosperity Sphere? Is that the big enemy? No. Eastern Europe? No. It's the Christian people. They are the enemy of the New World Order. They are, you see, this New World Order, this system of things, which has the full support, endorsement, and backing of the church community, the mainline, mainstream so-called Christian churches, which further confuses people. All of these have gathered together against the Lord. Against he that sitteth upon the white horse. Would you like that in plain King's English here? Let's, well, we still didn't get it, Isaiah. Okay, Revelation 19:19. Easy one to remember. Revelation 19:19 says, "And I saw the beast, That's a governmental system. It's the one we've got. And the kings of the earth, that's all the others. It's all the whole thing. How many kings of the earth? Now, it doesn't say in my Bible the kings of the earth except the United States, because we're the good guys. It's all of them. All of them. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Who is he that sitteth on the horse? Well, if you back up a few verses, it'll tell you who is sitting on that white horse. Verse 11 of Revelation 19 says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True." Those are the ones they're gathering together against. "And in righteousness he doth judge," and this is Jesus now. What does he do? "Make war." If Jesus came right now to this world would be hostile toward him. You know how I know that? They're hostile toward him and his people right now. They don't want you to preach. They don't want you to stand out in the street and preach. They got laws against that now. They never used to. They'd like to shut every one of us up and get us to preach little things that don't matter. Social gospel. Preach some anthropology. Preach some sociology. Have church socials. Have some ice cream socials, you know? Go down and have a pie social. Go down and play a little bingo. If that's the extent of your religion, you're as shallow as a saucer. Amen. Ruth. Pardon me, Ruth. Way back in the early part of this century, there were three men, George Bernard Shaw, Israel Zangwill, and Israel Cohen. There's some good Irish names for you. But they gathered together and formed a society, and they had determined the whole plan for this century. They actually put it in the form of a play and a book that was written called The Melting Pot. They said that the United States of America is a melting pot. Everything is going to come in here from everywhere. All right? And as a result of that melting pot and everything coming in here, we have an exact description of the beast in Revelation 13, which is made up of all kinds of different people. Every nation, every kindred, every tongue. We recently had to have a vote to make English the official language. I always thought it was, but it wasn't official. There are things that are just plain weird going on. And all of a sudden you wake up one day and say, "Wow, there is something strange going on. Where have I been? Now what am I going to do?" Well, you're going to pray, and you're going to read your Bible, and you're going to get up and tell it. And you're going to let other people know about it. That's what you're going to do about it. But let's look at what God's going to do about it. Now, finally, at long last, Isaiah 5. Now, I know I went a little farther than this, but verse 18 says, "Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin as it were with a cart rope." Now, there are four woes here. Four woes. This is the first one. But it also goes on and says, "That say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it." Notice the defiance here. Acceptance. That it must be accepted. We must coexist. If you don't want to do what we're doing, well, you've got to at least acknowledge us. Do you realize how many queers, weirdos, and sodomites are out there having gay pride parades? People that used to hide in the closets behind closed doors to do their perversions. Now they're right out on floats doing perverted things right in front of all the people. Do you realize that the inauguration of Bill Clinton, or Billy Blythe as his real name is, he adopted the name Clinton. His real name is Blythe. William Jefferson Blythe, B-L-Y-T-H-E, that at his inauguration, he stood there being inaugurated. The word inaugurate means to have spirits come into you. Did you know that? Look it up in your dictionary. An augurer is a fortune teller in the Roman Empire. To inaugurate means to have spirits come and indwell you. So, he's there receiving the spirits to come and indwell him. While he's doing that, you've got all kinds of queers loved him. The homosexuals, the sodomites. They were out there committing sexual perverted acts during the inauguration in the aisles while Billy Graham was standing there blessing the whole thing. You might say, why didn't they show that on CNN? Because it's X-rated. That's our country. That's what it has come to. You look at our president and his cabinet and his spokesman, George Stephanopoulos, and some of these other weirdos that he's picked and chosen, hand-picked. And you look at the Supreme Court that we've got. You look at this whole system. And then you compare it with 150 years ago. 160, 170 years ago, men like Daniel Webster and some of these other, I can't think of all of them right now. They'll come to me later when it's too late. But all of these great men who adjudicated things justly and fairly, who were astute, who had some self-respect, and then you look at that bunch of goofballs running the thing today. Wearing the same robes and walking out there and standing up in front of all this impressive structure and making perverted judgments. It's all right to kill babies, you see? It's all right to wait until they're in the process of being born and then jab a sharp instrument into the back of their head and suck their brains out while they're in the birth canal. But that's okay. Bill Clinton said, that's all right. He had a chance to veto that. He said, no, I can't veto that. He said, I can't do it in good conscience. Which brings me to my next point. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Need I say more? That put darkness for light and light for darkness. That put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You got to remember that a pervert has a different set of standards. To a pervert, something that is good is evil in your eyes and in the eyes of God. So when they start using terms like good or this is wonderful, they mean something entirely different than what's going through your mind. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. I was at the university and there was a professor walking down the hall. Nobody else around. And he was singing to himself. Nothing wrong with that. You can sing if you want to, but it's what he was singing kind of made me think. He's walking down the hall singing, everybody loves a professor. That's why I'm in love with me. So when you call me by my name, don't forget the PhD. Where did he get that? Huh? I mean, this guy was walking there. He was wet because pride was dripping off from him. Yeah, and I've seen them walk in procession with their hooded robes, with the stripes on them. You've seen the multicolored hooded robes. These men who have wandered through wisdom by degrees, like the Masons do. The Masons go through their first degree where they deny the Lord Jesus Christ by saying that they are in darkness coming in search of light. So they deny the Lord. They come into the first degree, entered apprentice. They go into the second degree, fellow craft, and into the third degree, Master Mason, Blue Lodge. And what happens? They've advanced through wisdom by degrees. So instead of doing that, you go to the university and you start out as with your bachelor's degree. If you make it past your freshman year and become a wise fool, a sophomore, which means wise fool, you go on, finish your other years, and you get your bachelor's degree, first degree. Then you go on to get your master's degree, which is the second degree. Then you go on to get your doctorate degree, then your third degree, see? And when you go to graduate, they give you this nice little square hat called a mortar board. And when they give you your degree, they call it a sheepskin, don't they? Like the Masonic sheepskin apron. Hey, this world's Illuminized. Or when you're a child, you can become a Boy Scout. Tenderfoot, second class, first class, Star Life, Eagle. And you choose the merit badge direction you want to go. Just like the Scottish Rite. Oh, there is so much. And the Lord came to call us out of all of this stuff. But he says, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. I am so smart. I've learned so much. I have an Ein Sof, a God self, a spark of divinity called an IQ. That's what they believe. An IQ. Intelligence quotient. My intelligence quotient is God. Huh? And the more intelligence I've got, the more godly I am. I haven't seen it that way. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Now you're getting into the working class. The workers' party. Huh? National-Socialist Deutsche Arbeitenpartei. Or the labor unions. Yeah, we finished a day's work, if you can call it that. Now let's belly up to the bar. Huh? Mix up another one, pop another top, I got the time. And they'll sit there and they'll pour that stuff down and pour that stuff down and pour that stuff down until they feel single, see double, and they don't know what they're doing anymore. You know it, you've seen it, you got relatives that do it. Maybe you used to do it. Get a buzz. Well, the Lord said, woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. I can drink you under the table. See, now we shift from the high IQ down to the two below rock level. And the big pride of life, the big badge of meritorious service is, I can drink you under the table any day of the week. Huh? You've seen these big natural brute beasts. Huh? They're all over the place. And I come in here and I obey the Lord by clapping my hands a little when I sing, and they say I'm nuts to do it. Bible says, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. If I get happy because I'm saved and because I'm rejoicing in salvation, I want to clap my hands a little bit. They say I'm nuts. Walk downtown on a Sunday afternoon in front of one of these bars. Yeah, I was walking down Front Street one time, and the bar door was wide open, and some guy was in there with something. It looked like he had a tambourine attached to a stick with a horn on it and a bunch of other, a washboard, and he was playing this thing and scratching that thing. Everybody was hooting and hollering in there. And they say, I'm nuts. Huh? Strange world. Very strange. Yeah. And verse 23 says, which justify the wicked for reward. That's called taking a bribe. That's called the payoff. Justify the wicked for reward. I wonder how many ministers right now, big name, big time evangelists, have taken a little money from under the table to shut up. Billy Graham has. Dr. Billy Graham has. Who was he taking money from? the office of Jean Dixon, the psychic, the witch. I've got a letter to prove it. And I got a letter signed by Billy Graham, written to Jean Dixon, where he calls her a great woman of God. I think some of you have seen it. Some of you may have copies of it. I'm going to make a lot of copies of that. People need to know. Which justify the wicked for reward. What does that mean? Justify the wicked. You know, just say, well, sin doesn't matter. Everybody's doing it now. Times have changed. Standards have changed. It's all right to do these things. Of course, then people like what the preacher says, it's okay. Then they can just feel free to have at it. And he gets a lot of people that way. You could get 5,000 people. You could build a big crystal cathedral. You could really go to town religiously and make it a good religious biz if you tell people what they want to hear and play both sides of every street and water everything down, let everybody have a lot of fun, and then just rake in the dough. Well, money shrinks. It also burns. I got to give the government one thing. I've never known any other entity that could take a valuable commodity like paper and apply ink to it and make it worthless in the form of our money. And it says, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. In other words, you play down righteousness that they're a bunch of fanatics, they're a bunch of idiots. They're a bunch of weird cult, holy roller goofballs that don't know anything because they try to be righteous. Here's what God's going to do about it. I can bring this to a close shortly because this is the conclusion of the matter that I've just been talking about. This is what God's going to do about it. Therefore, as the fire destroyeth the stubble, devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness. Their root is as rottenness. That's what it says. And their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despise the word of the Holy One of Israel. That's what you get for word despising. Scripture despising. You see? Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he hath stretched forth his hand against them, and hath smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. There will be judgment in this land. There will be blood in the streets very, very soon. You wonder about all these gang members running around? Gangs all over the place. Streets aren't safe. You know why they're there? They're being... I have information. In fact, I got this off from WISN Radio. They're talking about the gangs in Los Angeles who were given government money. You heard of the Clinton program to, midnight basketball thing, keep the kids off the street. They gave these kids all this money. What it really was, it was a way of fronting money to the gangs to make sure that the streets are not safe. Why? So we demand more protection. So we demand martial law. So we demand that the government come over and completely take over the situation in order to protect us from the awful gangs out there that just kind of got there by themselves. Hey, they're getting money from somewhere. And they're fed drugs. When you can go on these different... We were in New York City, right in front of City Hall. We'd gone up, we walked up Broadway, walked up all the way to City Hall, and stood there, and there were people carrying marijuana right out in the open, little bags of it. And you could go anywhere and just buy it. They're selling it all over the place. Police are there, it doesn't matter. Not doing anything about it. Because the only ones who are arrested or picked up are those that are not working for the government system. They want people hooked on a drug because they want to be able to pull that plug and say, look, either you cooperate or you don't get the drug anymore. And so they're building up a strange street army. This is going on. There are places in these cities you can pull up. There's a guy standing there selling it. You can pull up and just buy it right through your car window. He's standing right in the street, right out in the open, selling it. Nobody bothers him. Police don't touch him. They know what he's doing. Another guy up the street, they'll pick him up. They know who's working for him. What do they do with all the confiscated drugs? They sell them. They take it from the competition. You might say, what? This is outrageous. Sure it is. But it's right up the Rothschild alley. Do you ever read your history books about the opium wars? Read a little book called Dope Incorporated and see what you find out. Remember the opium wars where China outlawed opium? And the British Freemasons and the Crown went in and they forced the Chinese government to legalize it by fighting a war, having a skirmish over there to force opium back on the people? We've got a drugged up country and our government's behind it. There's, during the presidential election, when Kennedy was running against Nixon, remember that? How many are old enough to remember that? There was a, nobody wants to admit to that. There was a hotel owner in Detroit, Dr. Stuart Crane was talking to him. And he said, yeah, I've got a big party going here, Democratic fundraiser. Here at my hotel. He's a hotel owner. He said, why, this must have cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to have a big thing like this. They had everything. It's a big hotel. All the dignitaries were there. All the Democrats. Kennedy was there. He said, no, it didn't cost hundreds of thousands. He said, this cost me $1 million. $1 million? Out of your pocket? And he said, that's right. He said, but if Kennedy is elected, I get 50% of all the drug traffic coming out of South America. All right, just so you know what we've got here. The land of the free and the home of the brave. It is not what it once was. And the Lord says in verse 26, and I got to do this in 5 minutes. Do you believe in miracles? 26 through 30 in 5 minutes? And he will lift up an ensign to the nations from far. Oh, pardon me. I didn't finish where I was, did I? Okay. In verse 25, let me read it again. So we got to add another verse on there yet. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he stretched forth his hand against them, and hath smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. When this thing breaks wide open, it's going to continue. What's he saying? It won't stop until it's over. You, if you're expecting a little relief along the way, forget it, because it's going to be ridden right on through. And he will lift up an ensign to the nations from far and will hiss unto them. Oh, I got to do this right here. This just occurred to me. I just think this is rather unique. There is an ensign that is lifted up representing all the nations from afar. On F. Franklin D. Roosevelt Boulevard or Drive, whatever it is, along the East River in New York City, I stood inside that building last summer, the United Nations building. All the nations of the world, flags. Of course, all the flags were taken down because there was a big parade on the Avenue of the Americas, so they were using the flags. Otherwise, they had all these flagpoles in front of the UN with all these flags from all the nations that are up there. The ensigns, the flags. And will hiss unto them. You know who was in charge of putting the United Nations together? One of the men? Alger Hiss. Anyway. Oh, how it fits. Anyway. These fine Americans like Alger Hiss and Posvolsky and Dalton Trumbo and Harry Dexter White and all of these characters. And will hiss unto them from the ends of the earth, and behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. In other words, this grouping of the nations is going to rise up with speed and take over the country. Now, could that happen? Maybe we should say, did it happen? None shall be weary nor stumble among them, none shall slumber nor sleep. Neither shall the girdle of their loins be loosed, nor the latchet of their shoes be broken. In other words, they're not going to take a break. Whose arrows are sharp, and all their bows bent. Do you know what the symbol is for the Council on Foreign Relations, which is headquartered on 68th Street in the Harold Pratt Building? Council on Foreign Relations is not government. It's a private conspiracy. It is the Illuminati in this country. You know what their symbol is? It's a white horse inside of a circle with a rider looking backward. Huh? Just read about that in the scripture. What a counterfeit Christ, antichrist. Whose arrows are sharp and all their bows bent, their horses' hoofs shall be counted like flint and their wheels like a whirlwind. Their roaring shall be like a lion. They shall roar like young lions. Yea, they shall roar and lay hold of the prey. Now that, I believe, is representing the English side of the Freemasons, you know, with their symbol that they use, the lion. Remember Richard the Lionhearted and so forth, that lion that roars? Another false Christ, because Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, is he not? And lay hold of the prey, and shall carry it away safe, and none shall deliver it. And by the way, we are told what about our adversary? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. There is, in fact, a grouping of nations in this country that has seized upon various parts of this country already, just as the scripture is telling us. And I think that ought to signal and warn every Christian that the time that was once spoken of is now upon us. And it says in the last verse, and in that day they shall roar against them like the roaring of the sea. And if one look unto the land, behold darkness and sorrow, and the light is darkened in the heavens thereof. There's only one place you can look. And by the way, it's exactly 11:30. I did it. There's only one place to look. Jesus said, when ye shall see these things begin to come to pass, then lift up your heads. He said, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Let's stand together. Father in heaven, we're thankful this morning for thy holy word. We thank thee for the faith that thou hast given us, that we would not be filled with fear, but with determination to do thy will. Lord, strengthen our faith every day. Help us to not be deluded by this world. Help us, O God, not to be led astray by the things that they're telling us, but help our ear to be inclined unto thee, O God. Let our understanding and discerning of spirits be great. Give us wisdom, I pray, to know how to live in this present age. I pray that thou wouldst guide and direct us by thy power. Help us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Bless all these people according to thy word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.